Happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome back to The Scarlet Edit. I am your host, Nikki Corbett. And last week of June, next Saturday is the 4th of July. Like, okay, wow, exciting. I have to say, last year when I was in Colombia, I bought this dress at a bathing suit shop and I have not worn it once. I wore it one time when I was in Greece, but only while I was in my apartment filming content. So I have not worn it out. Mostly like red really isn't my color, I'm not going to lie, but I did try it on the other day and I'm like, this is the perfect outfit for 4th of July. So I already know what I'm wearing, unless of course, you know, the party I go to doesn't lend itself to something that casual, but hopefully it does because it would be very cute and very fun to be so festive. Otherwise, okay, last weekend I had a very lazy day and I literally stayed in bed almost all day. It was freaking glorious. I have not done something like that in so long. And I just think that I really needed it. And I think that listening to myself and listening to my body is super important. So I put Sex and the City on in the background because I didn't really have any shows teed up that I wanted to watch. And I wanted to be able to get some work done while I was there. So I didn't want to watch something that required my full attention. So I put Sex and the City on. Now, here's a question for you. I'm sure we are all guilty of rewatching shows. Like, we have our comfort shows. You know, there's some movies I've seen like hundreds of times. But here's something that I found intriguing as I've been rewatching Sex and the City. I mean, since I started it, I've probably thrown it on every night as I'm getting ready for bed, and it's just kind of playing through. I'm currently at the part where Carrie and Big are having an affair. She's with Aiden, Big is with Natasha, and they're off sneaking around, and it's really starting to affect Carrie's relationship with Aiden. But, you know, a few episodes ago, the girls were all talking about being friends with their exes, and it got me thinking about that statement and how, you know, you have some friends, I'm sure, who were like, oh my God, I'm friends with every ex I've ever had. And then you have some friends who are like, absolutely not. Like, the door closes, see you later, we never speak again. And then there's some people who are in the middle. So I got to thinking about that in general. But to wrap up my thoughts on Sex and the City as I'm watching it this time around, I feel like every time I watch it, I learn a little something more about relationships. Because if we're really being real, like, Carrie's writing a relationship column. I mean, we all know that. It's not necessarily, you know, they call her a sex columnist. I think it's more like a relationship column. But they've been talking about so many different things and going through so many different relationship things. And so I got to thinking like, okay, how can I relate some of that to this show? So when they started talking the other day about being friends with your exes, I really got to thinking about that, especially as it relates to infidelity. So being friends with your ex in general, right? Like, some people are excellent at maintaining a friendship. Some people even go so far to like set their exes up with other people that they happen to meet along the way. You know, I think every case is unique. If you were left heartbroken, are you really going to want to set your ex up with somebody that you know? I would wager probably not. So I did a little bit of research because I wanted to see if there was any like statistical information that made sense to share. So let me share a couple of things right now. First, 59 to 65% of people stay friends with at least one ex. That's what the research says. And I mean, for myself, I can definitely say that's true. I'm friends with my ex-husband. So for me, yes, I am someone who makes up a part of that statistic. Motivations identified by University of Kansas research are because of security, its practical civility, and unresolved romantic feelings. That's the sticky one, where somebody wants to remain friends or they think they can be friends, but it's really just because they want to stay in that person's life because they still have feelings for them. So that can definitely be hard and can be cause for future hurt if you don't get over those feelings. Oh, here's something that's interesting that some of you may be able to relate to. There was a study done by Oakland University, and it said people that are high in dark personality traits, i.e. narcissism or psychopathy. How do you say that? Psychopathy? I'm going to leave that in there. I'm not even going to cut that out because I truly don't know. But those types of people are more likely to stay close to their exes, often for sex or access status. Access is so important. Ooh, I have a lot to say on access. Not today, but in general, big, big. Sometimes, though, in general, the real question isn't, can we be friends? It's like, what am I getting out of this? And I think that is such an important way to frame it, because when you end a relationship with somebody, like, what are you really getting out of remaining friends with somebody that the romantic part of it did not work out or was no longer? So I'll apply that to my own life. You know, my ex-husband and I, we've been apart for a decade. And aside from taking care of our dog, you know, he is a very good friend. I would say that we are very good friends to one another. If I needed him, he would be there for me, and vice versa. So I think that there's just a level, you know, when you're married to somebody, there is a level of just comfort, and there's a level of depth in which you know someone, regardless of how the relationship evolved over time, that it just doesn't go away. You know, in some cases, it just doesn't go away. I think especially if the ending of the relationship was not for any major, major reason. Like if it was more amicable, then I do think it's easier to remain friends. Obviously, if you have kids together, you're co-parenting and you've got to figure that out. Some people do this really, really well, and some people don't. And obviously, I can't speak on that. I don't have children. I have been a witness to plenty of divorces with children, and I applaud those who are able to navigate divorce respectfully and amicably, at least when the children are involved. I've definitely seen things that have been less than respectful, less than mature. And I think that's really too bad. I mean, if there's one thing that I know for sure, and I think if you're a parent, you will agree with me, kids pick up on so much more than we give them credit for, and at such a younger age than we realize. Okay. Friends after infidelity. I mean, this one has got to be tough if you were betrayed by your significant other. You know, how do you reconcile that? How do you forgive something that you likely won't forget? Do you choose to forgive even? I mean, maybe you don't. I have had guests on this show who have talked about their marriages ending due to their husband's infidelity. And both of them had kids with those people, and they had to figure out how to navigate that. I think in some cases, people choose to forgive because they don't want to sit and focus on the negative. Again, I have not been through this situation, so I cannot accurately say what I would do if that were me. Some of the research around being friends after infidelity says that the betrayed spouse sometimes tries to be friends with the cheater. It's often disguised, though, as hope or disguised as surveillance, you know, wanting to keep their eye on them. Are they hanging out with the woman or man that they were adulterous with? I don't know. What do I think about this? I think it really varies. You know, like I said, I think it's so much easier. It's so much easier in my mind to just say, like, okay, this happened. I am not okay with it. I am moving forward with my life, but I'm not going to sit around and harbor ill will towards you. Now, again, I haven't been in this situation, but I'm using it in the same way as I think about like when a friendship ends or when something happens between two people where you're just like, this does not work for me. So you no longer get access to me except for the level that, you know, you need to have. In some cases, it's you don't need to have access at all. If there's no kids and your spouse cheats on you and you're like, absolutely not. Like, I am not getting back together with this person. I mean, you technically can move on and just completely move on and say, close that chapter of my life. If you do have kids, then you do have something to sort out and something to figure out. Like, how am I going to maintain respectful discourse with this person while co-parenting our children? And I'm sure the children's age comes into play in that so much, right? I mean, if you have like adult children, it's a lot different than if you have toddlers or even like, you know, middle school age kids who still rely on you for literally everything. I think something good to ask yourself, though, if you have been involved in a situation where your spouse cheated on you and you are trying to maintain a friendship after a breakup or after a divorce, is, you know, what are you keeping this for? And what are you afraid losing it might mean for you? And where is your self-worth in all of this after everything that happened? Self-worth can take such a hit when somebody betrays you. And that is sad and it is a challenge. So I think that you have to really decide, you know, is this person going to continue to add value to my life despite what they did, despite the betrayal? You know, should they be allowed access to me and my energy, or to you and your energy, as you continue to move on and get over it? And are you able to get over it with that person still actively involved in your life? I think it's hard to get over somebody that you still love deeply with them still in your life. I think we all play these games with ourselves, like, oh, we could totally do it. But I think at the end of the day, it's actually much harder. It's much easier said than done. Okay, so now, being friends with your ex when you were the other woman, this is something I absolutely can speak on and speak from it from a very real perspective. I know for me, there was no way that I could have gone. I couldn't have made that transition overnight. I couldn't have said, this relationship is no longer working for me, one day, and then been friendly, like, hey, how are you? How was your weekend? The next. I just could not have done that. And I didn't, you know, there was a moment in time where we did get back in touch. Somebody actually asked me this recently and asked if I would discuss this on the show. So why not? So we broke up. I believe, if I recall correctly, there were some texts exchanged over the next couple of days, and then that was it. It was radio silence on both our ends. Now, I will say, I am very good at not reaching out. Like, I am frighteningly good at not breaking contact. However, one night, approximately 4 months after we broke up, I had had a few glasses of wine and I was in the bathtub. Now, I love music very, very much. And I don't really stay in one lane as far as genres go. Like, there's only two types of music that I don't care for at all. And if you are curious, I don't love like heavy metal and I really don't like reggae. So otherwise, I am very much a lyrics person. I love to understand the story. I'm always curious, who is the artist singing about? Where is this story going? Who's involved? What happened? How is all of this layered together with the music and the melody and the bridge and the chorus? Like, I love all of that. So finding new songs and new artists is one of my most favorite things to do. So there was a song, I can't even remember who it was by, but there was a song that I heard. It was like a single by this girl band. And I was just like, holy shit, this describes it perfectly. So again, a little drunk in the tub, it's nighttime. I think I'm going to send him this song. So I did, along with a little comment that just said, this song kind of sums it up perfectly or something like that. I also am someone where sometimes, even when I'm completely sober, sometimes I can send a text and then it's like I completely forget that I sent it. So fast forward 15, 20 minutes, again, still in the bath, still a little buzzed. I was probably scrolling Instagram or TikTok. And then I exit out of that and I see a one on my message app. And I go, oh, shit. Well, he had read it. And he said something along the lines of, wow, that was a tough listen in whatever time zone he was in, where it was much, much later in the middle of the night. And I was like, ooh. So anyway, after that, we did get back in touch and we periodically spoke to one another, texted, FaceTimed here and there. And that went on for maybe 6 months, not too much longer. But then after that, we stopped talking and I haven't spoken to him since, and it's been years. So it's all good. I think that things are as they are meant to be. I think it would be really, really, really hard to stay friends with somebody where you were the affair partner, where you were the other woman, and they stayed married to their spouse. I think that would be super hard. And I don't think that I could do something like that, because then you're just kind of like, yay, I'm your friend now. Okay, cool. Thanks for not choosing me, but I'm still going to give you access to me. Like, I don't fucking think so. So yeah, so I don't. So, and that's another thing. Like, it's funny because going back to how I said that, like, I am so good at not reaching out, like, there will be no circumstances in which I would reach out to him. Like, at this point, it's like, I'm over it. You know, I've talked about it so much at length on here, where my standards have raised themselves. I've raised them. I'm a different version of me. I wouldn't get involved with a man who is married, this version of me. So it just would be like, what's the point? Like, why would I be giving you access to me? I mean, God, I'm all over the internet now. So if you really wanted to see what I'm up to, he can Google me, and guess what? I will come up. So anyway, should you be friends with your ex? Like, I don't fucking know. But I think if you were the other woman, definitely not. The other circumstances, that's totally individual, unique, up to you. But ultimately, I think that you should always do what's best for you. I think you should always, always think about, like, what am I getting out of being friends with this man? What value is that adding to my life? How does it positively or negatively impact my self-worth? And how does it positively or negatively impact the life that I am creating for myself, for my future? How is that going to benefit the future that I want? And is it, whether you want to admit it or not, is it going to get in the way of you meeting someone else? Is it going to get in the way of you being able to put yourself fully out there? Or subconsciously, will that friendship keep you in a way where you are a little bit hanging on, a little bit maybe thinking, well, maybe if we're friends, maybe we'll get back together. So yeah, you got to really put some thought into it and truly do what's best for you. Even if you have to sit on your hands to not call him, even if you have to block him for a while because you just don't want him randomly checking up on you. I think putting yourself first is one of the best things that you can do. Sometimes people will say that's selfish. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. So I'm going to end it on that. Thank you all so much for being here every week. I hope that everybody has a wonderful 4th of July weekend. Although there is an episode coming out next week that I've already put together. So not like you won't hear from me every Thursday, like clockwork, baby, for one whole year. There has been an episode of this show going out. So I'm very, very grateful for each and every one of you. Thank you so much, as always, for being here. We'll see you next week. Bye.